Mini episode 343 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 343. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris. We're here today to break down Western Conference hoops early in the 2013 season. In mini episode number 342, we broke down the Eastern Conference with the same gentleman we've got with us today. He is the managing editor of that NBALotteryPick.com, also a longtime FDH Lounge dignitary, part of our crew. I'd like to welcome to the program my good friend, Ben Hsu, joining us from the West Coast once again. Ben, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing good, Rick. How have you been?
Doing just great, buddy. Thanks. Good to get you on, and good to get to break down with you what has been for years now the more powerful and the more intriguing conference when you look at the depth of historic rivalries here, the monsters that have been battling for position. As we indicated when we were breaking down the East, the future may belong to the East in a lot of ways, but in 2013-2014, it sure looks like the balance of power may still reside out west. Let's start with a team that you have indicated to me off air you still see as a big favorite in the Western Conference this year. Can't argue with where they're at in the standings right now, 6-1 as we're talking today. So they still look like the team to beat. They've been a very, very powerful regular season team the last couple of seasons. And last year, due to some circumstances in the playoffs, not least of which Russell Westbrook's injury, but also due to their own strong play, they made it to the finals and were almost successful. I speak, of course, of the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes, and Rick, I mean, the way San Antonio has been playing to start this season, I mean, you go, I believe 6-1 could be 7-1 out and have the standings right in front of me, but they've just been looked like a well-oiled machine again. I mean, they did make some good acquisitions in the off season. You get Marco Bellinelli coming off the bench now for them, so they have another pure shooter that they can work with. I know a lot of people are saying that the big three of Duncan, Ginobili, and Tony Parker are getting up there in age. But at this point, the way that the Western Conference currently has it shook out at the period of time, it doesn't really seem like there are anyone that are just head and shoulders above San Antonio right now.
That's true. It certainly doesn't seem like anybody's head and shoulders above them. As you're looking at this, as you're assessing it, this is another thing we talked a little bit off air, I feel like I could kind of get behind what you're saying if I believed, and to me the jury is out, that the transition is going to be strongly underway this year when you're looking at Kawhi Leonard coming to the fore after a very strong season last year, Danny Green particularly, what we saw with him in the postseason, as you indicated, Bellinelli stepping into a very interesting role there. What are your thoughts on that in terms of being able to shift away the burden from the big three? Obviously, they're still going to be very important, but it would seem to me that if they're as important to the success of the Spurs as they've been in years past, that they won't make the finals. How do you see that shaping up?
Well, I see them currently shaping up as the team essentially to beat in the Western Conference, but the reason why isn't for what a lot of people would assume. If we move over to the Eastern Conference, the way Indiana has been playing recently, they've just looked dominant. The thing with San Antonio is very similar to New England in the NFL. They're just so methodical about how they play their game, and they just make it incredibly simplistic. It's playing a little bit of inside, outside, and then getting the ball down low to Duncan so that he can hit his, you know, the patented bank shot or 18-footer in front of him. And it seems to me at this point, as long as they continue with the system and as long as Greg Popovich continues to stay there, which makes this even more incredible that two of his main assistant head coaches are now head coaches in the league, and this team is still rolling. And it's going to be specifically, I think, Rick, on the bench. And you got guys like Bellinelli, you got Danny Green, you got guys like Patty Mills, and you also got Jeff Ayers, or a.k.a. Jeff Pendergraft. So there are guys there, and as long as they continue working that system, I don't think there's anyone in the West that can overtake them unless something happens to either Parker or Duncan.
Well, and again, those are guys that have held up over an extended period of time, and clearly Spurs fans have to be holding their crossing their fingers and hoping that they will continue to be in strong health. Obviously, to lose one or both for any extended period of time would put what you expect for them to be at risk. In terms of the most recent Western Conference champions, you've got San Antonio, but prior to that, the team that everybody believed that the future belonged to, the 2012-2013 Oklahoma City Thunder, again, running into the obstacle of Russell Westbrook's injury in the postseason, which derailed them. It was unknown how long they would be without him this year and needing to rely on Mr. October Reggie Jackson to come in and play the point. As it turns out, that period of time did not last very long, and perhaps unsurprisingly, Oklahoma City sitting here now at 5-1. Thoughts about, again, the scoring for this team, the depth of scoring? It seemed like this was going to be a little bit of a make-or-break year for Jeremy Lamb in terms of the importance that he was going to have. They might have done the right thing, Ben, in terms of letting Kevin Martin go, in terms of what he ended up costing Minnesota, in terms of what their cap situation was already. But doesn't that appear to be the biggest question for Oklahoma City this year? And if they can answer it, doesn't that set them up for another title run, potentially?
I mean, they are currently set for another title run, and the big thing right now is the health of Russell Westbrook. And in comparison to a guy like Derrick Rose, Westbrook looks more like himself than Rose currently does at this period of time. The real question and issue that a lot of Oklahoma City fans have been bemoaning after the James Harden trade was, where would the scoring come from? Kevin Martin was a great piece last season, but he was a tad inconsistent at times. They have Lamb, but the real issue with Lamb is that he is a pure scorer, but he's more athletic. He's more of the athletic sort of Scottie Pippen-esque type player that can spread the floor and make a shot if need be, but if he's more of a penetrating player. And the real problem for Oklahoma City is I'm not a, you know, huge fan of their bench production, but it seems to me that if you have two of the top NBA 20 players right now in the game today, you're always going to be competitive. But the real question is if Westbrook gets re-injured or if Durant gets shut down at any period of time, where is that other scoring option going to come in? Is it Serge Ibaka? I don't think so at this point. And we noted this in the Eastern Conference preview. They really need a consistent third scoring option. That's what you need in the NBA today. You need three guys who can consistently get points and get buckets for you at this period of time. And outside of maybe Miami, almost every other team has that problem.
That's true, and that's something that they've got to work to address. Because their depth of scoring right now is questionable when you get beyond, obviously, two guys who can just score in absolute reams in Durant and Westbrook, does this perhaps take a little bit of the steam off of Westbrook? There's a lot of people, and I'll be honest, myself included, that were really pointing the finger at Westbrook in terms of being a ball hog, in terms of maybe not knowing his role enough, getting a little bit carried away. And it was a little bit easier, I think, to point the finger when James Harden was there, when they went on the title run and they played Miami in the finals the previous year. Does this take a little bit of the steam off of Westbrook because he can kind of shrug his shoulders and say, hey, if not me, where do you think it's going to come from outside of Durant?
Right, and I think at this period of time, what really helped his cause was their exit against the Memphis Grizzlies. And it really seemed to me overall that Westbrook wasn't necessarily the ball hog that many analysts and people said he would. The problem is that he would become a volume shooter. He would just take touches away from Durant. And at this point, I think he's been able to sit back, lean back a little bit, see what the team has in front of it right now. And I think Westbrook can be that legitimate second scorer. And he pretty much is right now for OKC. But the real question is, if you can lock down those two guys, who's going to beat you? And at this point, I don't see a consistent option for them.
That's true.
You know, at any of the other bench positions or at any other starters.
That really has yet to shake out. That is certainly the case. When we're looking at some of the consensus top contenders in the Western Conference, and that's where we've started thus far with the two most recent West champions in San Antonio and Oklahoma City, I've indicated to you off air, been a little bit bemused at the notion in a lot of quarters the Clippers almost really seem to be not exactly a consensus choice to win the Western Conference, but there seem to be the majority of pundits out there I was looking at that fingered them as the Western Conference champions for this year. Obviously, they have a lot of talent on paper. Obviously, scoring depth not as much of an issue for them as perhaps, say, Oklahoma City. And they're getting the boost in getting Doc Rivers on the bench, an apparent upgrade from Vinny Del Negro. There's a lot to like when you look at them. You've got a young, developing big man in DeAndre Jordan. And yet, again, the notion that they would be favored by as many people to win the West really has kind of puzzled me on this. Is it a notion of people thinking that the West is a little bit kind of vulnerable right now and that San Antonio, Oklahoma City, other teams have their issues? What do you think accounts for the big bandwagon that's been out there for the Clippers this year?
I think that what accounts for it at this point, Rick, is that they right now, on paper, look to have one of the most balanced teams in the NBA. They have outside scoring. They have inside scoring. You got a defensive stopper in DeAndre Jordan that can, you know, make plays. But the real issue for them is, and, it's, and again, we'll have to hark back to the Eastern preview when I was talking about Miami, is just consistency. There are games that they look absolutely dominant against Houston earlier on in the year, but then they'll, like, lose a game to the Lakers in the, on opening night. So it's really just, they need to figure out how to make it work. And the real question is, it's going to be heavily reliant on Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Griffin has been working on his outside game, and it seems to have been working, but the problem is that both Griffin and Jordan have pretty much zero to no low post scoring ability. And when you have to face up a lot of teams like Memphis and San Antonio and Oklahoma City in the Western Conference, you have to go up against solid bigs, and the real problem for them is that if they can't consistently score, then they're no better off than what they were in previous seasons.
Well, staying on the left coast and staying with a team that is noted for finesse, because I noticed you didn't mention Golden State when you were talking about teams they were going to have to muscle up against. So is that a little bit of an issue with them as well, with the Warriors, is getting enough grit in their game? I mean, they've been a finesse team really for a long, long, long time, and with Steph Curry as their best player, no offense to him, but that really doesn't do much to change their image in terms of being a gritty team.
No, and I think overall for Golden State that they are a fantastic team right now. They're going to make that next leap, make that next step. I don't think of them as too much of a finesse team these days with David Lee and Andrew Bogut in the middle for them, but it still seems to me that they need one piece. They just need another player in there to make it work. You got guys that can shoot. You got guys who can score in the low post. But the real question is that they have to go up against teams like Oklahoma City and the Clippers, and they can match their shooting stroke and athleticism pound for pound. So they're a team that is on the rise, and they're going to be a big deal for the next three or four seasons. The real question is they're going to need some teams to fall off in front of them. And if they can make it work, they can get to the NBA Finals. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that.
Well, a big part of it, I mean, you're mentioning Andrew Bogut as being huge in there, and you're right. They are a much grittier team with him, but his health has really been a question the last couple of years. Does that make him really one of the most important players in the league in terms of what happens with their team because of how different the complexion of the Warriors are with him in there?
I think he is a huge key for them, and the major thing, too, is that their backcourt depth isn't exactly the best after him. But if he can stay healthy, and you saw it in their series with the Nuggets last year, if David Lee can be any sort of effective at this point, they have the players to match up with a lot of these teams in the Western Conference. And if we harken back to last season in the playoffs against San Antonio, they were very close to taking a 2-0 series lead and possibly just going to dethrone San Antonio right then and there. But due to a late comeback, that pretty much soiled that chance. So they have the talent. They're one of these teams, I think, in the West that are very on the line of being championship contenders. But if they can possibly get a solid first-round matchup against a team that's less formidable than them, they can definitely go on a deep run at this point.
Well, they were a team that really opened some eyes in the postseason last year, as did the Memphis Grizzlies. And again, that's a team when you're talking about other squads struggling to body up against them in the front court. They certainly come to mind new coaching staff this year, some changes that are taking place there. What are your thoughts about the Grizzlies coming out of this period of transition? Presently 3-3 in the early part of the season, looking up and down at various points in time, as you would expect with a team making these kind of transitional moves. What are your thoughts about the Grizz as we move a little bit deeper into the season?
Well, early on, I mean, if you just looked at some of their losses, they just looked absolutely horrible in those games. And what's going to eventually come to the forefront of this team is this team going to have that lull after that deep run in the playoffs last season? And to be fair, they really didn't improve the core group of guys that they had last year. And I think a lot of people in Memphis will probably agree that the whole fiasco last year with Lionel Hollins was just something that's going to affect this team going forward. And it seems to me that Memphis is going to be one of those teams that can either go on a deep playoff run or they'll be out of the play. They won't even make it to the playoffs this season. So it's really tough to judge where Memphis is, but I think in the West there are many teams that are probably more balanced and tougher than Memphis currently is right now.
Yeah, they're in kind of a weird place at the moment, no question about it. When you're looking at off-season moves, clearly the biggest, at least in terms of media interest, Dwight Howard moving from L.A. to Houston. Thus far, the Rockets 4-3 as we're speaking today. In terms of piecing together this the coexistence that there's going to have to be, the chemistry between Dwight Howard and James Harden on the court there, as well as some of the other players in the mix, whether it be Lynn or Parsons or anybody else. What are your thoughts early on about what we're seeing out of Houston and the chances for this thing meshing and them being able to make a nice playoff run as they expect?
Well, overall, I think Houston is the dark horse in the Western Conference. They can be a team that can go to the finals this season. They can be a team that just barely gets into the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see how Kevin McHale meshes a lot of these teams. And to be fair for Houston, they started off pretty well. They went 4-1 in their first five games. And then it's been a little bit questionable how the team has played after that. It's a lot of different personalities, and from what a lot of people, especially media type in the area, commented that it's a more a little bit lackadaisical, sort of cooler, relaxed team at this period of time. And the real question is, will this team be able to turn it on late, and will they be able to make that big push? Because to be fair, a lot of these Rocket players haven't had deep playoff runs in them, so it's going to be interesting to see how that team sort of molds together and gels during this season. But it's going to be determined on how Dwight Howard is, and you're going to have to rely on guys like James Harden, Jeremy Lin, and Chandler Parsons to get that scoring for you, because Howard's low post game has been at best maybe improved just a bit, but he is nowhere near the dominant force offensively where he should probably be at this stage of his career.
Yeah, that's what they're paying for out of him. So if that element of his game, which is a very important foundational piece, if it's not there, then, yeah, Houston can't accomplish the goals they're looking to accomplish. Segueing now, and we're starting to get a little bit more tenuous when we're talking about teams that were expected to do anything coming into the season here, because a lot of that would be predicated on making a late run, maybe out of the 7 or 8 seed, if they're able to get Kobe Bryant back in the lineup here and acclimated. I speak, of course, of the L.A. Lakers at 3-5. Had some games thus far where they've really pleasantly surprised, and you don't say that often about a team with a 3-5 record. But as depleted as they seem to have been in the early going here, have the Lakers discovered anything about any of the supporting cast members that's really going to benefit them for when Kobe comes back? Do you take seriously the notion that, particularly since it seems like he may not be out as long as some people had thought, that they may be able to make a solid run on the back end of the season and into the playoffs? Or is this still looking like a team that's basically still just kind of regrouping for 2014?
At this point, I think, and you can make this argument so far through the first 8 or so games that they've played, they've been much improved in terms of, you know, putting solid games together to beat good teams. But then if you look in their 5 losses, they've been blown out at least 4 out of those 5 games. So there are some very good pieces around there. You do have Nick Young, who I thought was an underrated talent in Washington in just terms of scoring the basketball. But they got some solid role players in Xavier Henry and a guy personally to me that has been a little bit surprising that he hasn't been given a bigger chance, Wesley Johnson. And they have the pieces there if if Kobe can come back to about 70 to 80%, they can make a deep playoff run because they do have the guys that can match up with some of the teams in the West. But it's going to be really determinant on one person. I still think that person is Pau Gasol. If Pau Gasol can return to any form of a 2010 player again, they can definitely make a deep playoff run. I don't think it's an impossibility at this period of time.
Well, if they can sneak into the playoffs somehow, it is going to be a fascinating first-round series, regardless of who they grab. Let's save the real dregs of the league here, of the Western Conference, for towards the end. Let's look at the grab bag of some of the other teams we haven't discussed yet, teams that really didn't have as much in the way of expectations on them, but have played very well to decent thus far this year, starting with Phoenix, which I can't figure out personally how they're doing at 5-2, soon to be doing it with mirrors to me with that roster that they have, but very impressive thus far. Minnesota 5-2. I can say I understand how they're doing it because K-Love is having an MVP-type season thus far, or at least start to his season, and the pieces there have been very good meshing with him. You've got your Portland Trailblazers right now 4-2. With some young parts there, and LaMarcus Aldridge kind of holding it all together. Portland, a pretty good nucleus, but a team that we didn't necessarily figure was a lock for the playoffs, but they're looking pretty good at 4-2. Dallas Mavericks, always going to be interesting at 4-3, integrating now Monty Ellis into the mix with what he's been able to do. And New Orleans at 3-4. A squad that pretty much just epitomizes young talent, but that we figured was maybe about a year or two away from a really solid run. So out of that grab bag, which teams, if any, do you think might be poised for a nice playoff run in the West?
Well, in terms of the West, if you're looking at those teams right there, obviously you have to think Minnesota, barring an injury to Rubio or Love, will be in the playoffs. And they're a very interesting matchup for a lot of teams because they do have the depth that teams need. And you have a head coach like Rick Adelman who can make a deep run if need be. And one team I was impressed, and I know New Orleans is below 500 at this current time, but Anthony Davis has looked like the number one pick all this year. And they do have a lot of balance in Jrue Holiday and Tyreek Evans and Ryan Anderson, and you have guys that can help that team along. The real question is that right now for Holiday and Evans, they have not played up to par. And it seems to me overall that they're going to need to step their game up a little bit if the Pelicans are going to make a deep playoff run. But I think you and me are both surprised by Phoenix's rise. I think I'll credit that to Jeff Hornacek, their new head coach, and the acquisition of Eric Bledsoe, and the way that Gerald Green has been playing as of late has been pretty much out of the moon. And they just we've always talked about this in NBA and NFL podcasts. There's always that one team we always tend to overlook based on their record from last season. But if you look at Phoenix from top to bottom, I know there's not a lot of household names out there, but if they can play fun and gun basketball, they can be very similar to what Denver was last season. So I have a sinking suspicion Phoenix is going to hold on. And the real question is, at the level in going into the playoffs, is will they be able to continue that sort of style of basketball?
Really? Well, if they make the playoffs, and again, that would be highly, highly unusual based on what we thought going into the season, then that means somebody that we expected to make it, because in the West, I think we all thought it was fairly well set coming into the season who was going to make it, who wasn't. There might be one or two surprise teams not making it just because of the depth of contenders out there. But when you're looking at the teams that are right now around the perimeter of playoff contention, you've got it in order right now from the Clippers, Golden State, Houston, Dallas, Memphis. Any of those teams you think might be at risk of not making it and ceding that spot to Phoenix?
If you had to make me guess in that period of time, I would have to go with Memphis because they had, just because of the huge culture shift that they went through in dealing with the whole Lionel Hollins situation. And it just seems to me that they're one of those teams that are going to have a letdown because that they don't at this point have any really true big one star that they can go to. And at this point, you can also make the argument that Dallas is along those lines, but I think Dallas will probably slip into the playoffs just because of the depth that they have. And the one big issue they had last season was they didn't really get much scoring out of the shooting guard position. And the one thing I know about Monte Ellis is that he can't score. So I think Dallas is going to be one of those teams that will slip in, and it's very possible that Memphis will slide out.
Well, that will definitely bear watching very closely. You mentioned Denver, and I mentioned we were still going to get to the dregs of the league. And right now, Denver's among them at 1-4, Sacramento at 1-5, Utah 0-7 as we speak today. Don't know that we necessarily expected Denver and Utah to be in this mix. Sacramento is a perennial contender for it, for the top pick, just because they always have a decent amount of young talent there, sometimes better than that, but they can never get a rotation set to save their lives. So of those three teams, do you expect them all? It sure looks like Utah at the moment because the death watch for Ty Corbin is already on. But as far as the other ones go, do you expect them to be in the mix all year long for the Andrew Wiggins sweepstakes?
I would think so at this time. In Denver, the real big issue for them is the loss of JaVale McGee. He's not going to be able to play due to a tibia problem. And the way that Denver sort of tailed off last season, it was very sort of indicative of how that team is going to play. And I know Brian Shaw is getting his start as a head coach, but this isn't exactly the most talented roster to come in and deal with at this point, because I don't really, just judging from the couple Nuggets games I've watched so far this season, I don't really know what their game plan is or what they're trying to do. I know Shaw was talking about a little bit more smash mouth basketball, but if you're getting smashed in the mouth by the other team, that's not really helping out your cause.
Yeah, they're absorbing the smashes rather than dishing them out. And again, George Karl's got to be chortling wherever he's watching this from, because this is a team that really looks like a shell of itself relative to the last couple of years. As far as how things shake out for the finals, now having gone through both conferences with you here in separate segments, I had said coming into the season, I haven't seen anything to shake me off of this thus far. Again, anybody that knows my history as a lifelong Clevelander knows I say this painfully, but that I thought it was probably going to be another Miami over OKC finals this year. As of what we've seen thus far, I'll stand by that coming into the season. I know that you don't exactly see it the same way that I do.
At this point, I mean, if we're judging just off the early part of the season, it seems to me it's going to be another San Antonio-Miami final unless someone, either like the Clippers or the Pacers, make a huge push late. And at this point, it's really tough that the Pacers are at this point to be favored, but it just – It seems to me like another Miami-San Antonio final. The real question for Oklahoma City is that they're going to have to run into teams like San Antonio, the Clippers, during these playoff runs. And the real question is, if either of those teams can shut down Westbrook or Durant, I think OKC becomes very one-dimensional on offense. And that's not the way you want to be, especially in the West.
Absolutely. My sense that Oklahoma City is going to make it through is predicated on Durant playing at an MVP-type level. But, yeah, that is going to be a very tough road to hoe for them. So any other concluding thoughts on the Western Conference, Ben?
I mean, really quickly, I know we mentioned Sacramento and Portland. We didn't get to them overall. I think Sacramento, their main problem is they're still trying to figure out, especially with the whole saga with them possibly going to Seattle, that who's going to be there, who's going to be gone soon in terms of their rotation, how is Brendan Malone going to deal with this team, and the real issue is that they have talent. This is one of the very few teams, I think, in the NBA that has an absolute depth of talent, and guys like Isaiah Thomas and DeMarcus Cousins and Marcus Thorin and their stud rookie Ben McLemore, and it just seems very, very interesting of what they're going to be going through for the rest of the season. Moving to Portland very quickly, Portland is probably going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to get most likely to the 7th and 8th seed. The real question is their acquisitions of Mo Williams and Darrell Wright and Robin Lopez are going to be the driving factor, because Damian Lillard has looked good this season. I don't know if he's going to be on the same rookie of the year level as he was last year, because I think a lot of people slept on him overall. But the real question for them is that if they can make at least a playoff run, will that save Terry Stotts' job? And will they be able to keep LaMarcus Aldridge? Because there have been trade rumors floating around him for the better part of the last year and a half.
You would think it would save the coach's job to make the Western Conference playoffs, given the depth of competition out there, but it's hard to say. And as far as it goes, you know, you are absolutely right in terms of breaking it down with Sacramento. I can't remember the last time that I would have said that their roster would be in, say, the bottom one-third of the league in terms of talent. That hasn't been their issue in recent years. it's getting those pieces to fit together. They have been a singularly ill-conceived roster in terms of getting complementary pieces in there, and instead of just a bunch of young guys who don't fit together and are talented individually but don't fit within whatever they call a construct for that system there. So that will be very interesting to watch as well, and that's probably going to have a lot to do with how low they finish in the Western Conference. But, again, it will be worth keeping an eye on all of this through the course of the season, and nice to know that we can always bring you on to talk about all things hoops. Really appreciate it as always, Ben. Thank you so much.
No problem, Rick. And also one interesting stat about Sacramento right now, Isaiah Thomas is their leading scorer, and he isn't even starting. So you already know there's a problem when your leading scorer is coming off the bench.
Yeah, I've been saying it for so long now, just an absolute mess of a rotation there. It has been the case for many, many, many years, and that's a team that would be better off, frankly, if they were a little bit less talented on paper and a little bit more cohesive and guys knowing their roles. Clearly nobody knows their role in Sacramento right now, and if Isaiah Thomas is the leading scorer, that kind of tells you everything you need to know. Thank you for coming on with us today, Ben. We really appreciate it, and thank you all for tuning in to FDH Lounge mini episode number 343.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.